Last week we began a message entitled, When You Pray. We are looking at what is many times referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It's actually a model prayer where Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And we got partway through Jesus' lesson last week on how we're to pray. So this morning we're going to continue with that message that Jesus is teaching us. First we saw, and by the way, we're looking at Matthew's Gospel, in case you don't know where that is located, the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew 6, and we're looking at verses 5 through 15. First we saw that Jesus tells us not to do what we do just to bring praise to ourselves. And that's not just in our prayer life, but in life in general. We should not do what we do just to get attention ourselves. He just, in the first verses, he talks about those first four verses there. In this chapter 6, he talks about when we're giving our alms, he refers to us. And when we're giving, he says, don't do that just to get praise from man. Because what happens when you do that with that mode or motive is that you, when you get that praise, you need to really enjoy that praise because that's all your reward that you get. Jesus says that's your reward, the praise that you get from man. No heavenly rewards involved when you do it for the praise of man. So he's telling us we don't need to do things just so somebody will pat us on the back and give us an attaboy. You know, we need to do it so that we're praising God, so that it's bringing praise and honor to God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, I believe it is, says, let your light so shine before men that others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So we need to do things not so they'll see our good works and glorify us, but so that they'll see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. The same is true with our prayer life. We don't need to do it in such a way that we're just bringing attention to ourselves. In those first few verses there, as he's beginning to teach the prayer, or even preceding that, actually is where he's telling us to, you know, not to do it just for the glory of man. He tells us that we need to do it for his glory. There's nothing wrong with praying in front of people. So don't say, well, you know, I can't pray in front of people anymore. Nothing wrong with praying in front of people. As long as you're praying to God and it's for His glory. It's not because you're trying to impress somebody else that may be listening to you. You want to pray in such a way that God is honored by your prayer. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whatever we do, he said, whether therefore you eat or drink or what, soever you do, do all to the glory of God. So don't pray, don't give, don't do anything to bring glory to yourself. Do it to the glory of God. Secondly, we saw that when we pray, we need to start off praising God. You know, we need to be thanking Him for who He is, for what He's done. You know, He's the Creator of all things. He created everything. He created us in His own likeness, in His own image. We praise Him because He's the God who has allowed His only begotten Son to suffer and die to pay for our sins. For without that, we would be in terrible, terrible condition. And so He deserves our praise. He deserves our honor. As we think about who we're talking to, we need to We need to praise Him. He provides us for our needs. He protects us. He's prepared a place for us to spend eternity with Him in heaven. If we will accept His gift of salvation, if we will accept His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did on the cross to pay our sin debt, then He's going to prepare a place for us. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, so that where I'm there, you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He said, I am the way. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so Jesus is the way that's been provided for us for our salvation. We need to acknowledge that and give praise to Him when we pray. We ought to start out thanking Him for what He's done for us, what He's doing, what He's yet to do. And then next He teaches us to always pray for God's will. You know, some people teach us today that we just demand what we want and God's got to do it. You know, you just tell Him what to do and He's got to do it. That's not what His Word tells us. His Word teaches us to pray for His will to be done, not just to demand what we want. I'm thankful that He's not always answered all my prayers the way I would have liked for Him to have answered them. Because looking back, and I would imagine that all of us, if we would be honest with ourselves, have prayed for some things and really desired some things that later on we're glad He didn't answer them the way we asked Him to answer them, because we've seen how the effects of that could have been, and it wouldn't have been exactly what we wanted. And so the best thing to do is pray for His will. Because see, we can't see in the future. I can't see into the rest of this day and exactly what's going to happen and what I'm going to encounter the rest of this day. I don't know what I'm going to encounter in 30 seconds or in 5 minutes. But God does. He knows exactly what's ahead. He knows our whole future. And so we're better to pray for His will to be done and not for our will to be done. And I'm glad He don't always answer mine in ways that I would prefer that He did at that particular moment. When Jesus was agonizing in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel, He prayed for God's will to be done. Remember, He didn't go and demand that God do what He wanted to do. He did, in fact, ask God what He would like to have done. And there's nothing wrong with us telling God what we would like if it's His will. And that's exactly what Jesus did. See, He was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane just before He went to the cross, just before He was beaten and abused and falsely accused and spat upon and tortured and hanged on a cross. Just before that, as He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if it's possible to provide for the salvation of mankind some other way than for me to have to go through all this suffering and pain and being hanged on the cross, then please do that. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He prayed for God's will to be done. So why should we not pray for God's will to be done in our lives? I have heard preachers say that that when you pray for the Lord's will and you don't just demand what you want done, then, you know, that's a wimpy prayer. But I say, well, you know, maybe it is. Maybe I got a wimpy Savior. But that's the kind of wimpy prayer He prayed. And if it's good enough for Him, it's sure good enough for me. And so, and that's the way He taught us to pray. He taught us to pray for His will to be done and not ours. And so we need to do that. Finally, we learn in verse 11 that we should pray for our needs to be met in such a way that we might be able to fulfill the call He's placed on our life. Praying for wisdom to use what He blesses us with in such a way that He'll be glorified in the way we use what He has provided for us. Again, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 8, He said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." What did He say? He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and if you'll abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want, and it shall be done. So, what is it you want? If you're abiding in Him and His words are abiding in you, you want His will to be done, and you're going to be praying as Jesus taught us to pray, for His will to be done and not ours, so that what we do will glorify Him, will glorify God and not ourselves. And so this morning we pick up with verse number 12. Verse number 12, chapter 6, Matthew's Gospel, where the Bible says, as Jesus is teaching us how to pray, He says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or as Luke chapter 11 verse 4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we're also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." So we need to ask forgiveness for our sins, our debts, that He is referring to our sins, things that we have trespassed against God, violated His law, gone against His will. And we ask forgiveness for those things. So we need to ask forgiveness of all of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So as we pray and we've thanked God, we've praised God for who He is, for what He's done, we're asking that His will be done and not ours, and then we're asking Him to forgive us of all of our sins, all our trespasses, all our debts, everything that we've done against Him to violate His will for our life. We also need to realize that Jesus is teaching us about forgiveness as well. When we ask Him to forgive us, we are also reminded that we need to be forgiving ourselves. We need to be able to forgive others. He says, "Forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive our debtors," or those who have sinned against us. You say, well, that's pretty hard to do sometimes. These people have done some stuff to me that I don't know what I want to forgive them for. Well, you ever did anything to Jesus? You know? Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against Him. And a good reminder of this is His prayer when He was hanging on that cross after He had just been beaten beyond recognition. He's hanging there looking out over that crowd that's just abused Him. They falsely accused Him. They spat in His face. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They pierced His side. And he's hanging on that cross about to give his life when he looked out at that crowd and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He forgave them. What they did to him is probably a lot more than what somebody's done to us. And so we need to learn to forgive others for those things that they've wronged us for. And he teaches us to pray for God to forgive us just like we forgive others. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So we not only need to have faith and pray believing, but we also need to pray without anger and malice and without holding grudges against others. We need to be able to forgive others for what they've done to us. We also need to recognize that what Jesus is saying about the importance of forgiving others. He explains this further if you drop on down to verse 14 and 15 after the closing of this prayer, as he taught us how to pray. And then the very next verses, immediately following the model prayer, is, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. So what is he saying? Pretty plain, isn't it? He said, if you're not willing to forgive somebody else for what they've done wrong to you, then there's no need for you to ask God forgiveness, because he's not going to forgive you. You've got to forgive others the things that they have done to you. And so we need to understand the importance of forgiveness. There's no gray area here. It's very plain. It's very straightforward. You forgive and you can be forgiven. You refuse to forgive and you won't be forgiven. Jesus gives further instruction on forgiveness over in Matthew chapter 18. In chapter 18, Matthew, beginning verse 21, there's more instruction about forgiveness. The Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, if the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." So, is it important to forgive others? Absolutely, it's paramount if you want to get forgiveness. Now, Jesus is not telling us that we've got to forgive everybody that's wronged us and to continue to give them opportunity to take advantage of us. You know, he didn't say to that fellow who owed him that money, you know, don't, you know, forgive him of his debt, but next time he comes and wants something, give it to him again. He's not telling us that when we've been wrong, that we just got to keep giving that person the opportunity to wrong us. We must forgive, but there are times when we need to avoid encountering that person. We need to avoid giving that person the opportunity to take further advantage of us. Can we find scripture to support that thought? Well, I think we can. If we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 15, where we see that Paul was in prison. And while in prison, he was encouraging Timothy to come visit him. He was giving him instructions as to what to bring and who to bring, who to allow to help him, who would help him and who would hinder him. And as he gives those instructions, he warns him about one particular fellow in particular. He says there in verse 14 through 15 in 2 Timothy 4, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom thou be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." He said, Alexander the coppersmith has done much harm in trying to hinder the gospel going forth, the gospel being preached. And so you need to be aware of this Alexander the coppersmith. There are times when we, not only do we need to avoid contact or avoid giving that person who has wronged us before more opportunity to wrong us, but there are also some times when we don't need to just become gossips and go out there and start trying to destroy some, but there are times when we need to warn people that might encounter these individuals that are trying to hinder God's work and hinder the progression of God's work and the carrying forth of the gospel. We need to warn them of this particular person that is hindering the work of God. And that's exactly what Paul did. He was warning Timothy about, he didn't say, "I'm not forgiving him." He said, "I've turned it over to the Lord. The Lord will take care of it." And that's what we need to do with those people who wrong us. Don't go try to take care of that and settle that matter yourself. You know, we need to forgive that. Turn it over to the Lord and say, "Lord, he's yours. You know what he's done, and I'm forgiving him of that, but you can take care of it." I told a lot of people, you know, that sometimes you really have some, and there have been some terrible things that have happened, and people say, you know, if I get a chance, I'm going to settle that. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Why don't you let God do that? You know, God can handle it, and he don't have to answer to anybody. But if you go take care of yourself, then you're going to have to answer, and you may wind up suffering some pretty ill consequence because you went ahead and took it on your own and took care of it yourself. Why don't you let God take care of it? God's a lot more capable. As a matter of fact, God's word said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." We don't have to take care of it. We got a God that's big enough and able to take care of it. Let him handle it. Let him have it. See, God is yours, and that's what Timothy said here, or what Paul told Timothy, he said, I've turned him over to God for what he's done, and God's going to take care of him there. He said, the Lord will reward him according to his works. And when we turn those situations over to the Lord and let him handle them instead of trying to take care of them ourselves, then we will be much better. We'll be able to get forgiveness, and God will, he'll take care of that person. Sometimes we say, we can't wait. And, you know, when you're carrying a grudge against somebody, when you're carrying unforgiveness in your heart, every time you see that person, it just eats you up, you know. It will eat you alive. That person probably that person may have even forgot about what he did to you. And he's going about life just doing fine. But every time you see him, every time you encounter him, it just eats you alive. Your blood pressure goes out of sight, you know, and you have ill thoughts. And you're the one that's hurting. Not that person that you're holding a grudge against, not the person that you're holding unforgiveness against. Get rid of that. Give it to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. So trust him with those things. He says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. So give him those things and let him take care of them. Get rid of them, because until you do, you cannot be forgiven. If we do not forgive others, we will not be forgiven ourselves. So, when we forgive, unfortunately, we don't have the benefit that God has. You know, God forgives and he forgets. When he forgives us, when we pray and ask him to forgive us and cleanse us, the Bible says he forgives us. Not only does he forgive us, he casts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness as far as east is from west. Never be remembered again. If you ask him today about a sin that you confessed and repented of yesterday or 30 years ago, say, remember that, what I did back then, and ask you to forgive me? And he would say, no, don't forget, don't remember that. That was, if you asked me to forgive you, I forgave you. And I forgot it. Don't you wish that we had the ability to forget those things? I'm getting better at it, you know. I forget a lot of those things now. I forget a lot of other things too. You know, people say that comes along with age, you know, when you get over 40, you know, like me. But it would be nice to be able to, when we forgive somebody, to just be able to erase that, wipe that off our memory, and never remember it again. We don't have that luxury, but we do have the luxury of being able to give it to God and say, God, I'm forgiving this person, and I'm turning him over to you, so you take care of it, and I'm turning it loose, okay? And do that. So, we need to forgive and remember that forgiveness is paramount. If you want to be forgiven, you better be able to forgive. And we can't get to heaven without forgiveness. We can't be saved without being forgiven. So is forgiveness important? Is it important for us to forgive others? Absolutely, because we can't be forgiven if we don't forgive others. So, that's part of the prayer that Jesus is teaching us. And then he tells us to pray for protection from Satan. In verse 13, the first part of it says, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. He said, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. We know that God's not going to tempt us because he don't tempt. The Bible says that he cannot be tempted and he's not going to tempt us. So, we need to ask the Lord to protect us from Satan. in James chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. I said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, what do we need to do? When we ask the Lord to lead us not into temptation, to deliver us from the evil one, how do we see that done? When we draw nigh to Him, the closer you get in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the easier it is for you to resist the devil. The more time you spend in God's Word, learning what His will is, what He would have you to do, how He would have you to live your life, the more you spend time in prayer, talking and communicating, not just telling Him what you want, but listening to Him and allowing Him to give direction and wisdom, the more time you spend involved in His work, and the closer you get to Him. He says, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh to you. And the closer you get in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the easier it is to resist the devil. The easier it is to recognize the devil. You know, he comes in, he's sly. He's a sly old fox. And he can tempt you, and sometimes he makes things look pretty beautiful and hard to resist. But if you're in right relationship with Jesus Christ, there's going to be some red flags that go up, you know. Oh, need to stay away from that, you know. So how do we resist him? Stay close to God. The closer we are to God, the closer we are in our relationship with Him, the more time we spend with Him, the more spent time we spend in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, then the easier it is to resist Him. And finally, as we began the prayer, as Jesus began this model prayer, talking about, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Talking about praising God's name and acknowledging who He is. And then we wind the prayer up the same way. In the end, we acknowledge Him as who He is, as being all powerful. There in the latter part of verse 13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here we, again, in closing, as we wind up our prayer, we acknowledge Him again. We praise Him for who He is and what He's done, realizing that He is, in fact, all-powerful. There's absolutely nothing that He can't do. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, and again in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And so we begin that prayer praising Him, lifting up His name, and honoring Him. And we close that prayer in the same way, again, acknowledging who He is and what He's capable of doing. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that He cannot do except fail. He don't fail. But what's impossible with men is possible with God. So, remember, this is the model that He has taught us to pray. Honor Him. Acknowledge Him. Pray for His will to be done, not ours. acknowledge that He is our strength. Ask for His protection and provision. And again, honor Him and praise Him. Let all that we do praise the Lord. Father, we do love You and we thank You so much for Your love, for Your blessings. God, I just pray today that as I've preached Your Word as clearly as I know how to do, that the Holy Spirit will take that Word, will speak to hearts, will draw hearts to You. Lord, that people will draw closer to You. Lord, that we will remember what You've taught us about how we pray. Lord, how we need to acknowledge You as, for who You are, what You can do. Lord, that we need to always ask for Your will to be done and not ours. And Lord, that it is paramount that we forgive others so that we can be forgiven. God, I love You today and I thank You for all that You've done for me. And I ask now that as You're working, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts, Lord, if there's one here today who's struggling, if there's one who's never trusted You to be Savior and allowed You to become Lord of their life, if there's one who has allowed Satan to distract and discourage them and they're not where they need to be in their relationship with You, God, we realize that when we're not in right relationship with You, we are a greater target for Satan. And it's easier for him to mislead us and misdirect us and steal our joy and kill our witness. Lord, help us to draw closer to You. And if there's one that's drawn away, that slipped away from that right relationship, Lord, I pray today that today would be the day they come back to that place of right relationship with You. Whatever needs exist in this place today, we know that You're here and You're here to meet needs for Your honor and for Your glory. We thank You for all of it in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Stand with me for a few moments. Music's playing. God's working. If He's spoken to you, if there's a need in your heart, if there's something you need to take care of today, this is your opportunity. Never accepted Christ? There'll never be a better time than right now, today. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I don't want that. I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died to pay for my sins. I accept what He's done. I ask You to forgive me and save me today. Maybe you're here and you've accepted Christ, but you've allowed Satan to distract you. You need to come back to that place where your relationship's right with Him. Whatever the needs are, whatever God's leading you to do right now, would you do it quickly? We're not going to tarry long. If there's something you need to take care of, God's here to meet those needs. He'll do it, but He's not going to take them away from you. You got to give it to Him. Anyone, quickly. Last call.